Anybody think they enjoyed it? All right. For those of you that are alive and remain, the stewards are giving you some notes, but I want to talk to you today about something that is very, very important, as I generally do. It's not on the series that I've been doing on worship, though I'll come back to that. But for me, this is one of the most exciting moments of my life on earth to this point. Can you imagine that? You pastor, you don't look a lot excited. Well, let me tell you, if you could see me on the inside, I'd be like the wildest African you've ever seen. I mean, I am really excited. Why are you so excited? Because I believe that God has prepared us for a series of awesome miracles. You know, we heard a testimony here a moment ago of a woman who science said you could not have a baby. But the truth is, she's got a baby. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. And it's because of our sister's faithfulness and faith that released a miracle into that woman's body. And for me, that's really what gives the buzz to life, is experiencing God. The more you experience God, the more you're alive. The whole world's looking for life. The whole world's looking for life. But they look for it in all kinds of places. I mean, I just came from America, you know, and America's, you know, perfected every pursuit of pleasure you can imagine, and a whole lot you can't that you wouldn't want to. But it's all in a search for this thing that makes life really good. And it is my deep conviction that what makes life really good is God. The more you experience Him, not necessarily just know about Him, as you'll see in a moment, but the more you experience Him, the more you say to yourself, wow, I am so immeasurably privileged to have the life of God in my journey. And so, as you see there in your notes, I want to talk to you about money, faith, our mission, and the new sheep shed. And all those things are exciting to me. In Exodus 14, let's just slip over there for a moment. I want to read a verse of Scripture and then kind of explain the significance of it. I was sharing with the leaders earlier in the week from this passage, Exodus 14, and beginning with verse 8. Says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Well, I just want to apply a few things here and just kind of talk prophetically and do some teaching and whatever else I do. But in the net result is I want you to walk out of here today contending for what we were singing about a few moments ago. This story isn't in the Bible just to make up the pages or to give us some interesting thing to tell a child. It is full of prophetic wisdom. It's full of wisdom for living. It gives us instruction about our life. And it does tell us something about the nature of our earthly existence. It says, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. You know, when I got saved, I was just so happy. I was so joyful. I thought, and God really touched me in such a wonderful way. I had no idea that there was a king who was going to pursue me. I like to tell you that a lot of times you feel things that are nothing more than an Egyptian king. I don't mean from Egypt, but Egypt represents the spirit of this world or the devil and his system, oppressing you, pursuing you, regardless of how much you're trying to run in the right direction. And that's where Israel was. God says, get out! They said, we can't get out. He said, okay, I'll get you out. And he got them out. And so you can imagine they were just really free. Shoo! Off they went. But somebody was coming after them. So he pursued the Israelites as they were marching out boldly, and the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen and troops. Why does God go to all the detail? Horses, chariots, horsemen, and troops. I'm not going to dig into that. You can dig that out yourself. Pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. Anybody ever felt like you've been overtaken? A couple times, okay. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. You know, that's always an option you can take. It's not a right option or a Christian option or a biblical option or a God-approved option, but it is one you can choose. You can choose to be afraid. You can choose to bow down and allow yourself to move into panic and fear, but that's not anything God really allows you to do righteously. So look at your neighbor and say, you're not allowed to be afraid. And I'll explain more of the significance of that in a moment. So as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. There were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified, cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Now, doesn't that sound kind of like the fickle nature of people, referring to other people than the one sitting next to you? They wanted out of Egypt. They get out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh's after them. Well, why'd you bring us out? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Everybody say, do not be afraid. If God said it to them, he says it to us. Do not be afraid. Say it again. Do not be afraid. Now, there's stuff, and your head can process, but God's word is eternal. And he's saying to you today, regardless of what stuff there is, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Everybody say, the Lord will fight for me. The Lord will fight for me. The Lord will fight for us. You need only to shut up. No, you need only to be still. Oh, maybe the one translation. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Moses was trying to tell them the right stuff while he had the wrong stuff going on inside of him. But here's what God says to him. Tell the Israelites to move on. Now, you know this story, no doubt. And this story has special significance for me, and that's why today is really so exciting, is if I get all my props here, is it's early on in establishing this church, or seeking to partner with the Lord in establishing the church, the Lord gave me this verse of Scripture. And so in a number of places where we tried to expand or move forward or get a building, whatever it was, this came back to me. And so it has been in my spirit for a long, long time. And it is especially significant today because, as you know, I just returned from holiday without in America, just trying to relax and rest and be, you know, free of all the... No. But I was resting and relaxing, and my wife and some of her family. We went down the Columbia River and we took some time to do some sightseeing there. It's great weather, beautiful landscape. And we stopped in a shop that is part of the visitor center. And it's a kind of a vista. You can look down the river in this massive, beautiful valley and mountains and so on. And so we're in the shop and buying a cup of coffee. And they had a Christian little book table, spindle thing, you know, that turns around. It's got all the books in it, and it's all Christian. And I like books, Christian books. So I walk over, and I'm just kind of spinning this around, and I see a book, the one I'm holding in my hand. Mira, I'm just on holiday. I'm supposed to be exempted from all responsibility. But you know, God is always on. He always leads us. And the title of this book that I want to recommend to you, because it's bigger than this day, it's called The Red Sea Rules. Because that's where Israel was. Israel was next to the Red Sea and the mountains, and behind them was Pharaoh. So this book is about how to live at the Red Sea. When it doesn't look like you can go forward or backward or sideways, a simple little book. It says, the same God who led you in will lead you out. And so he's written a little book here called The Red Sea Rules. I thought, this, kind of is part of my life journey. It's where we are as a congregation right now. If they told us by November we have to be out of this sheep shed. We've been in here a little over 20 years. God has blessed us. So, like I said, I'm just minding my own business on holiday when God says, oh no, I got something for you here. And so I'd like to encourage you that God, as David says, He knows the way that I take, and He knows the way that we take. Wherever the path leads, He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. And He says, I've got some rules for how to negotiate when you get to the Red Sea. And so I just want to encourage you to get this book. I'm sure you will find it a blessing. And it is such a poignant scripture for us because of what is really going on here. God led Israel to the Red Sea. It's a principle of Christian living that God will always lead you. The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by ordered by the Lord. God will always lead you to a place that is humanly impossible to progress. Why? Is God not familiar with geography? Of course He is. God will lead you there because He wants to be God in that context. And He wants this great story to be repeated over and over and over in your life. And so I want to encourage you, even after a lot of miracles have happened here in the next number of months and years, you get a hold of this little book. It's not terribly expensive. I think $10. Get a hold of this book. Keep it. You'll need it. You'll need it. Because it'll be a reminder to you that God has already planned. Listen to me now. This is why this is so exciting. God's already planned and prepared a great miracle for you and for us at the Red Sea. He knows the end from the beginning, and He leads us to where we're going to need a miracle. He's already got one set up there because He's already there. And you know, they could have missed it. And the very thing that would have kept them from missing it was if Moses and the people said, no, we'll just turn around and just surrender to the Egyptians. But God commanded them. You know, in the early days, I meditated in this verse, and this is part of the great contradiction of the natural mind. It's impossible to go forward, but then God comes, and the first thing He says in the King James, it says, God says, move forward. NIV says, move on. Move forward. Go forward, it says. Go forward. Yeah, how do you go forward? God says, go forward. God will always tell you to do something before He explains how. I was sitting, as I told you, with this pastor friend of mine, and I told him that we had been given notification that we had to get out of this building by November. Maybe December, but probably November. Going to be out. And you wouldn't know it, but I've spent a lot of years looking for buildings until one day I was in a meeting in America and God spoke to me and said, you know, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I've got the building. It's turnkey ready, da-da-da-da-da. And it'll no longer be a question in your mind. Is it here? Is it there? When is it? How is it? All that's going to go away because I've got a place for you. So what was God telling me? He was telling me this was Red Sea. When Red Sea comes, I've got that covered. I've got that taken care of. So I stopped. I mean, I looked at buildings on this side of this road and all through Harrow and all in through Kenton and South Harrow. Every kind of building. I had estate agents. I chased all. I had lists from the council. I looked at a lot of places. Bam, 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 bam. So when the word of the Lord came, that settled it for me. I said, okay, Dad, you know, I'm going to write a book someday, and the title's going to be, Did Anyone Bring a Canoe? And it's going to be about this passage. Because that's what we were doing it. You know. In your Red Sea here, and the Egyptians behind you. Okay. Did anybody bring a canoe? Well, not one that would hold 3.5 million people. But the good thing about it is that God takes you to someplace where your head doesn't work. Only your faith works. Only your faith works. So anyway, I was sitting with this pastor friend of mine. I told him that we'd been given notice to get out of this building. And he knew we'd been in here a long time. And so he says, you're going to get another building. I said, yeah. He said, well, how? And I said, you're still asking that dumb question? And his wife laughed and she said, yes, at 61, he's still asking that dumb question. I said, God doesn't tell you how. He's the how. Hello. He says, I am the way. He's the how. Just, you heard Regina's testimony. All the human hows had been exhausted. God says, I'm the how. I'm the how. Just believe me. So that's why I'm so excited. I'm not stressed. I'm not worrying. I'm not in a panic. Say, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, okay, I'm going to enjoy it if I am. That's just where I'm at. And I believe that's where you're at. Is that you're ready for God to do an amazing miracle because that's what He's been planning in your life for a long time. He set you up to be a part of this house so you could have a much bigger experience and capture of Him. That's what miracles do. They change the way you think about yourself and about God and this world and stuff. They change when God does a miracle. And so, anyway, we're having this good time on holiday. And I'm at peace. I'm at rest. And so I just want to just kind of remind you of our mission. And you can read the notes there. That's just kind of a little précis of some aspects of what God has called us to do. But I'd like to kind of move forward because I want to minister to you in a few moments here and talk a little bit about the new sheep shed. We're going to have a new sheep shed. And I need to make something very plain. I call it a sheep shed because that's how I see it. That's how I see it. It's a shed for sheep. You know, I've been in a lot of amazing buildings, both historic and modern. But what I believe that God wants us to have is a focus on the lost and this, the kingdom of this world that need to be reached. So, oh yes, I like to be blessed by a modern building that's not got all the holes in it that this one does. And I believe that we will. But it's still, in the end, it's still a sheep shed. The church is not this building. It's not this building. It's what meets in this building. It's people. And we need a larger sheep shed to house all the stuff you see there. So let me give you what I know right now. We're looking at some options that have come up recently. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is how they came up. I didn't chase them. I wasn't looking for the solution and how to figure this out. You know, because I've unwittingly in my journey have tried to help God out. Maybe you never have done that. Not because in a rational moment I thought he needed my help. Just because it was a stupid instinct. I needed help and I wasn't quite so confident that he was going to help me on time. You know, we do wear different watches. And so the wonderful thing about it is that we're looking at some options about another place. And I can't give you any more detail about them at this moment. But I want to say to you that those options are going to require something God has already provided for, a great miracle. A great miracle. You know, what if life was easy? We would all not be doing very well. But we come to a place where, like Israel at the Red Sea, you say, okay. And that's in the Bible here. So God says, okay, every time you come to a Red Sea, I want you to take the same instruction. Move on, go forward, move on, go forward, move on, go forward. You do your part. You say, yes, Lord. You say, yes, Lord. You embrace me at your Red Sea and I'll open the Red Sea for you. That's really what the nature of our Christian journey is about. That's why you're here today. Because you came to your Red Sea spiritually and you said, God, I can't live this life. I've made a mess of it so far. I live in my sin and my shame and all my darkness and proclivities toward evil. I can't go on this way. And God said, I'll open the Red Sea for you. It's called salvation. And God did in a moment for you what will last a lifetime and for eternity. He transformed your life. And so you started with the Red Sea experience. You came up against it. He said, God, I need you. I believe you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you made provision for me. I believe if I confess my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord, I'll not only die and go to heaven when I do, but I'll have you in my life. In that moment, the waters of evil parted from your life, and you walked across into the dry land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land of blessing. And so what we face now in relation to a new sheep shed is no different. No different. God says, move on. Go forward. Go forward. And now you see there in your notes there on page 3, it says money. You say, well, Pastor, what's it have to do with money? What's it have to do with money? Well, it'll no doubt take money. It'll take a miracle of money for us to have our own sheep shed. A great miracle. But that's not a problem for God or for... It's not a problem for God or for... That's only 7 of you. It's not a problem for God or for... Okay. If it's not a problem for God, then it's not a problem for us. Because He's in us and with us. Okay? So it's going to take some money. So I'm not talking about what I've seen so many places. Look at your fingernails. How long are they? Have you been eating them lately? Is there any nutritional value in a fingernail? Can they add to your life? Can they put money in your wallet? No, actually, if you have... Yeah, never mind. So I know the tradition is that when you need a building, everybody starts with the thing. No, everybody starts to think, okay, how can I, you know, I can sell the lawnmower and then get a push mower. You know, we can have some raffles. We can, you know. And so it's a lot of fingernail chewing and human effort and so on. Like I said, my book title, Did Anyone Bring a Canoe? You know, how many journeys would it take? Let's see. No. So when I'm talking about money here, I'm talking about money for another reason. And this is all part of my vacation. I like I said, Marilee and I went on our vacation. We just went to have a vacation. But, you know, we would often go to a particular church when we were in Portland. But on this particular day, Marilee said, I think we should go to so-and-so's church. I just feel we should go there. And I didn't have any particular feeling, but I remember on holiday. You know, she can drive the bus. I don't care. But she was right. She said, I think we should go so-and-so. I said, oh, okay. Fine, let's go. Worked out. It didn't look like it was going to work out. It didn't look like it was going to work out. It didn't look like it was going to work out. But the one who's designed everything made all the blocks fall into place for us to go. Why? Well, we go. Great worship. We're there in the service. Great worship. And then they introduce a speaker. Some of you may have heard of him. His name is Cheon, or Cheon, however you say it. He's Korean. Pastors a very large church in Los Angeles. And he's the visiting speaker. I didn't know he was going to be there. I guess I did know just a little bit before we went. We'd already made a decision to go. So anyway, we went, and he gets up to speak. And here's what he says. I'd like to talk to you today about the International Last Day Transfer of Wealth to the Body of Christ. How many of you could use a little money? And he said, you know, sometimes people say, I think the church talks about money too much. He said, you know, I don't think they talk about it enough. And he said, from this perspective, go back to your spiritual father, Abraham. Did God bless him? God blessed him immensely. Why? So he could be a blessing. So why does God want to bless the body of Christ? Not only because we're his sons and daughters, as we heard a while ago, but so that the gospel can permeate the world. The blessing can go around the world. So he starts talking about this international last days transfer, and I don't have time to preach the whole message to you, but in the end, he gave us some points on how we position ourselves to receive the last day transfer of wealth to the body of Christ. And he gave a number of illustrations from the Bible. He says, okay, let's, and here's interesting. Remember, I bought the book, Rules for the Red Sea. He says, let's talk about Israel leaving Egypt. Oh, is there a thread here? Is there a thread? Come on now, some of you have read your Bible. He said, the Egyptians had all this stuff, and God said to them, to the women, go and ask all your Egyptian neighbors to give you their valuables and their jewelry. How many know that's a step of faith? If I took an offering here and said, I want all you ladies to bring your jewelry up here, you'd probably stone me. But, you know, God was, he was trying to tell us something. That what they got belongs to his people. He said, before I'm finished, everybody's going to know that I make a distinction between my people and those who are not. So he says, the Bible says, Israel plundered Egypt. Israel plundered Egypt. Now, like I said, I don't have time to tell you to go through all the scriptures on it, and God willing, at some point I will. But I want to just tell you a little bit more about his testimony. He's telling us about the international last days. And he says, you know, let me tell you just a little bit about myself. He said, my wife and I, you know, we've always tithed. And he said, one of the things that puts you in a position to receive some of the last day treasure that's transferred to the body of Christ, the treasures of darkness that are delivered to God's people, he says, is that you're a tither. He says, some people believe that the money they have is theirs. Who do you belong to? You belong to him, so everything that you have belongs to him. So if you learn to be wise, biblically wise, in the way you handle money, then God can do anything with you. So he says, he said something startling. I didn't know this. He said, 75% of American Christians don't tithe. Whoa. But he says, you know, I came up under a certain ministry, and he named that ministry. And he said, we were taught under that ministry, because of this man's example, to give 40%. So he says, if you're going to move into the last day transfer, you've got to become a generous person that is not chained to the spirit of greed. So he says, if you sow generously, hello, what's the Bible say? If you sow generously, if you sow stingy, you'll be Scrooge. So he said, that's what we were taught. So that he said, that's what we were doing. We were given 40%. He said, it took me a while to get there. He said, took some time to get there. And he says, we're tithing 40%. Now this becomes very relevant. He says, I went to see a mentor of the man that I came up under, who has been involved in a huge, incredible revival in South America. And he said in one of his meetings that the people he's been teaching and training are now giving 51%. 51%. So he thought, well, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good with 40. So he said, I went back to my wife and I said, I believe God wants us to give 51% of our income. And his wife said, well, maybe we should give 90%. He said, dear, it took us a while to get here. Let's just take 51 and work there. So they've moved into 51%. Because I'm just explaining something to you. He says, we're giving 51%. He says, one day, one of my spiritual sons, who has a work in Malaysia, he's also a businessman, and he had some business in Hong Kong. He flew to Hong Kong, called me and said, Che, I want to have lunch with you. I got something I want to tell you. He says, okay, fine. He says, I'll stop in Los Angeles. We'll have lunch. They were having lunch. Time's going by, an hour, 2 hours. The guy's not talking about it. She says, this guy, he says, my son, he says, he's kind of, he's not really forward. Finally, I said, what is it you wanted to talk to me about? He said, well, my wife and I felt like we were supposed to give you a gift. But there's one qualification for giving you this gift. So Shay says, well, what is it? He says, if we give you this gift, it's got to be for you and your wife and your family, not for the church. Because we know that anybody gives you anything, it always goes to the church. We just know you. Shay says, well, okay. We'll submit to that. So the guy's almost ready to leave. He said, well, so what is it? He said, well, he says, we'd like to give you 200,000 shares in our company. So Shay says, I'm thinking, well, okay, if they're penny shares, that's good, but it's not an awful lot of money. So he says, well, so what are the shares worth? He said, right now they're worth about between $4 and $6 a share, but if you wait a little bit longer, they'll be $8 a share. He said, in that 2.5 hour lunch, that man and his wife gave us over $500,000. Now, is there cause and effect? Absolutely. He didn't ask the guy for it. He didn't say you owe it to him. God says, I just want to show you what's available. Then he says another story. He says, so there was a family that owned business in Malaysia. They were mining coal. The problem was the Chinese started mining coal, and they were mining so much it drove the price of coal right down to nothing. He said, we couldn't even operate the machinery to dig the coal out of the ground for the price of the coal. So he said, our family business died. It died. Just like when Regina said, the doctor says, no, you're not having a baby. That coal's not going to produce for you. They shut the business down. Wasn't too long later, the price began to go up. They went back, dusted everything off, started to dig some more coal. While they were digging coal, they struck oil. And when they struck oil, this man went to his pastor, private meeting. said, Pastor, I want, you know, we've discovered oil in our coal mine operation, and I want to bring you my first tithe check. My first tithe check. He handed it to the pastor, and the pastor looked at it, and he wasn't quite sure he was reading it right. It was $35 million. So that's his first tithe. That's a 10% tithe check. 10% tithe check. Now, that could make a big difference at New Life Bible Church. Come on now, some of you are laughing. You see, whenever you hear the story of a miracle, you should say inside yourself, and that's for me. Come on now. Now, I'm not finished. Shay says, you know, we're given 41%. We're moving to 51%. We're working in 51%. He said, we're just kind of minding our own business. But he said, you know, I have relatives in South Korea. And he said, my grandfather or great-grandfather, one of his ancestors, going back that far, owned an island off the coast of South Korea. And it was a very fertile island. And so they raised rice. Well, they sold all the rice to the military. In addition to which, the military had a contract for all the rice they could raise. So they were doing well with that. They also owned three banks. So they're a wealthy family. And you may remember the woman who was briefly the president of South Korea, who was arrested for corruption. What was her name, Ange? Who? Park Young-hae. That's near here. She was the prime minister, or the president of South Korea. This is going back a few years ago. Well, her grandfather, when he was the president of South Korea, he decided he was going to grab this island off of Cheon's family. Said, okay, you know, I'm just appropriating it. So he stole it. And he did that to a number of others. So, two generations down, Park Cheon becomes president of South Korea. Whatever her name is. Related. Park Chae-hae or whatever. Anyhow. When she becomes the prime minister, she had made up her mind before she took office, she was going to address all of the theft that her grandfather had done when he was president. So she set into law that everybody who had had their property confiscated was going to be compensated. Everybody say compensated. So does the Bible say anything about if the devil steals from you, you are to get a sevenfold return? Now, Cheon, he's just pastoring his church in Los Angeles and stretching himself to give 51% and just, you know, blessing God and doing everything God tells him to do. Well, she's deposed from office, but it was the law, so it was being enacted. Well, his relatives died, but they traced his relatives down to Cheon. He gets a letter from a lawyer connected with the disbursement in the government that says, we have discovered you. It was your family that owned that island. And so the South Korean government is going to compensate you for that island. They're going to compensate you for that. They're going to pay you what it's worth today. Not back then. And with interest. Now, I can't imagine how many zeros on that figure. But he's telling us. This is God just saying, look, I'm the accountant that will balance the books, that will make the difference in the lives of my people for the sake of my mission. So, anyhow, he gave us these great stories, and they haven't posted this message on the internet yet. Otherwise, I'd have given you the address so you could dig it out yourself. But lastly, I want to close with this. It all has to do with faith. Faith isn't the same thing as knowledge. As I've said to you many times, the scribes and the Pharisees had no faith that Jesus was the Messiah, even though he fit all of the prophecies that they had memorized. Faith is a spiritual dynamic. Faith comes how? By hearing. By hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So God wants to shut down my hearing. He wants to shut down your hearing. Because the devil knows, or not God, but the devil knows that if he can shut down your hearing, he can shut down God in your life. There'll be no little miracles or big miracles if he can shut down your hearing, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you believe God and you step out and you do things. And God does his part and you have some serious rejoicing like we heard here today. And so if there's one commodity that the devil wants you to become so accustomed to that you can just parrot it and think, well, yeah, I'm a person of faith. But are you a person who's currently hearing about whatever it is you need to be hearing about? And let me close with one little last story here. I hadn't intended to tell you this because it has to do with myself, but it illustrates the point I'm making. For a long time, I'd wanted a new car. Marilyn and I had a couple of cars. They weren't bad. We got by with them. But, you know, like some other men, I like cars, and I kind of grew up with cars. And so I had my eyes set on a certain car. And Marilee shared that with me, and I took a picture off the internet and stuck it in my desk drawer, so when I opened the desk drawer, I'd see it there. And it would kind of spur my faith to believe and to sow a seed and to believe God, and so we did. We saved money, and we sowed. We saved, we sowed, we saved, we sowed. Until last year, I bought the car I had long wanted. It was a beautiful car. Some of you might have seen it here. Probably many of you have no interest in cars whatsoever. Didn't notice at all, which is fine. Life does not equal cars. it maybe equals shoes for you or hairdos or whatever. I don't know. Houses. But I had that car, and I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. God helped us get a really, you know, it was just, and it was a beautiful car. There wasn't a mark on it. It had every unbelievable amount of options on it, and I thoroughly, it was big, so it had long strides, so I could take long drives. I took a drive to Wales. I thought, wow, this is really the car I should have had years ago, because I can get there, and I don't feel tired getting out of it, and, you know, it wasn't right. Well, anyway, so I had this car. I only had it about 2.5 months. That's probably why you probably didn't notice it. And some of you wouldn't have noticed it anyway. Even if you'd seen me in it, you wouldn't have noticed the car. You'd just, oh, that's Pastor Rick, yeah. Anyway, it was a beautiful car. I'd only had it about 2.5 months. In the middle of the night, God wakes me up, or I wake up and God's talking to me, however you want to put it. And God says, I want you to give this car so-and-so. Now, because I've been down this road a few times, I didn't argue with God. I just told Marilee, and Marilee's a woman of faith. She said, well, okay, let's do it. So we did. We called him up and take him over, and we gave him the car. And the backstory is the man of this couple, he liked the same kind of car. The old car of the same type had just died the day before. So he gets a call from me, he comes up, and we give him this really nice car. He's just like, you know, what? In fact, probably for 10 minutes in my front room, he couldn't talk. And his wife's just sitting there, you know, she can't understand that, you know, his car, he has a car, okay, that's fine, his car, you talk, say something. You'd have thought he, you know, I drugged him or something. Because he's just so blown away by this. And we were blessed. They got the car and drove away. Wonderful. But you remember what I said to you? God is the accountant of heaven. When you hear his voice and you obey him, there's a miracle coming to you. About 2.5 weeks later, I'm sitting in my front room in my comfortable chair, relaxing, and the phone rings. Marilee hands me the phone. It's for me. The voice says, "Pastor Rick, do you know who this is?" I said, "Yeah." And I said the man's name. Relax, he doesn't attend here. And he said, "My wife and I felt like we wanted to give you a new car. Would that be all right?" It's kind of an odd question, isn't it? Now, he doesn't know anything about the other car. But the great accountant knows. Hello? He said, would that be all right? I said, well, yeah. Well, you know, what do you say? I think that would be fine. That'd be fine. Okay. He said, "I spoke to the dealer and the car won't be ready for a couple of weeks." I said, "Okay." And just before he was ready to ring off, I said, "By the way, what is it?" Then he told me. Well, after he got off the phone, I did what men do. You need internet. The car he gave me was worth twice the one I gave away. What am I telling you? I'm not telling you because I'm the pastor. I'm just telling you a simple truth. If you hear from God, there's a miracle behind responding in faith to what he says. It didn't make sense for me to, long after the car that I had for so long, save and sow and believe God, then finally get it, and then for 2.5 months later, God says, "Okay, give it away." That doesn't make sense. But it's the voice of God. Let me tell you, it's the best thing. The best thing that can happen to you is to hear from heaven. God will never take you back. He'll always take you forward. So I want you to stand to your feet. And I want the ministry team to come out to the front. And while you're coming, I want you to come over here and get a bowl of oil. Thank you, Marilee. And team, if you can kind of form two lines so that all of the believers can pass through. All right, capture this. I told you a lot of things today, but at the end, my job is to make sure it gets into your life. Into your life. And that's with all my heart what I believe God wants. He wants his voice to be heard in your heart. So that whatever he says, no matter how it sounds, how crazy it sounds, you say, "Yes, Lord. I'm going there. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go forward. Whatever you say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do." Because I know that's the way to live. That's the way to live. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing is a work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask each one of you to pass through these leaders and each one of them. They're not going to pray over you. They're not going to give you a prophetic word. They're going to anoint you with oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to you just as He did on the first day of your Christian life. The Holy Spirit spoke to you, and when He spoke to you, faith rose in your heart. He said, yes, I'll take that man, Jesus. I'll take that man, Jesus. And when you said yes to the voice of the Holy Spirit, your faith went into operation, and the work of redemption was done in you forever, for eternity. And I believe that God has made us the people of faith, and I want you to hear, and I want to hear myself, the voice of the Holy Spirit over the next 6 months like we've never heard it before. Like we've never heard it before. Because I know when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and you say, yes, I'm running with that. Boo! God's miracle is on its way to you. You can know about God. That's one thing. Increase in knowledge, the Bible says. Or you can get to know Him by responding to His voice. By responding to His voice. Whatever He says, yes. Say yes. Say yes. And so when you walk through here today, I want to encourage you inside you to say, you know, if ever in my life I needed to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it is now. And God has some big miracles for me. I want to hear His voice so that I don't lose out on any of them. I don't want to be somebody who just knows about God. I want to experience Him more in this next year than I've ever experienced Him before. I want His miraculous power to be displayed in my life so that I come to church and I say, yes, I've got a testimony. So you come. Starting over here, just come and just pass down here, and they're going to anoint you with oil, and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and begin speaking to you. He's going to begin to speak to you today and tonight and in the night and through this week and the next week and the next month. Yeah, you just step on. Everybody anoints everybody person. So you oil them down good. Come on now. Get some oil on them. Get some. That's it. Make sure you get anointed by everybody in this team. That's it. In the mighty name of Jesus, you're anointed to hear. You're anointed to hear and believe. You're anointed to hear and believe today and tonight and tomorrow and next week and next month and the next 6 months. Let me tell you, there are miracles on their way to you because you're anointed to hear and you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. They will hear. Lord, the hearing is opened up today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That still small voice that comes. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. They will not live as they have lived. Each one will live differently because they hear your voice. They hear your voice. Thank you. The voice of the Lord comes. It comes to you. Thank you. Even as you're anointed here today, tonight, in the night season, throughout the next month and weeks and years, you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. It is the voice of the Lord that created the heavens and the earth. It was the voice of the Lord that parted the Red Seas, that shook the mountains, that brought deliverance, that brought healing, that brought help, that brought provision, that brought deliverance. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is on the increase in you because you're anointed in a fresh way to hear the voice of the Lord. You will hear the voice of the Lord. You're anointed of the Lord to hear more than you've ever heard before. God speaks to you because you are a people of faith. You're a person who says, yes, Lord. I'll say yes to you. Yes, Lord. Or when God says yes, nobody can say no. The doctor says, no, you won't have a child. But you will hear from heaven because you said yes. because you said yes. You said yes. I heard from the Lord.